Boys and girls, do you like to play hide and go seek? Is that something that you find to be fun? Do you have a favorite hiding place at your house? Is there some place that you know you can hide and no one is ever going to find you? My kids, when they were little, loved to play hide and seek. In fact, we were on spring break last week, and teenagers in our house, they were all playing hide and seek. I couldn't believe it. When my kids were little, they loved to play hide and seek. It was usually pretty easy to find them because they would often hide in the last place they found me. And so I would just go to that place and there they were. It got a little bit harder when they got creative with their hiding. Especially Allie. She was the youngest one, so she was the littlest one. Allie would find a place to hide and then she would just go silent like a submarine on the hunt. You could not find her. We couldn't find her. She would find this littlest, tiniest place to hide. And eventually, you know, you give up. And so you call through the house. Okay, come on in, Allie. We can't find you. But she wouldn't come. And then real panic sets in, right? Did she walk out the door? Is she someplace that she can't even breathe? I sometimes wonder if God likes to play hide and seek. I sometimes call out, okay, come on in. I need you. And yet I don't often hear from you. I wonder if sometimes God is too far away. If he has hidden himself from me, and will he ever be found? This idea of the hiddenness of God is a profound theological mystery. It's been taken up by theologians and mystics alike for 2,000 years, trying to understand this strange silence of God. And also what seems to be God's preference for working not in glorious ways, but in shameful ways through broken people, through humiliation and contempt to achieve his will. Of course, this idea of God's hiddenness is best illustrated for us at the cross. God is most present in his power when he is most absent in his glory. When Christ calls out that he is forsaken, that's the precise moment that God is most revealed and most fully known. The central issue here in John chapter 7 is that the people in Jerusalem think they really know who Jesus is. They think they really understand this man, but their confidence actually blinds them to God's revelation. God is hidden from them. God is revealing himself to them, but they can't see it. Look with me at verse 27. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know. We know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." And he can't be the Christ. This Jesus of Nazareth, we know where he comes from. We know him. We know his hometown. We know his people. The idea, popular at this time in Jewish theology, was that the Messiah would be relatively hidden away, that he would appear suddenly as Israel's Savior. But the people look at Jesus and say, "Okay, you've achieved a measure of fame, but we know who you really are." Do you know anybody that's achieved a level of celebrity or fame? I know somebody that I see on the TV every once in a while, and I just kind of always shake my head and go, "Man, that's so weird that he's famous now." People of Jerusalem didn't think that Jesus was their hometown hero who had done good. Instead, they mock him. They think that he is making outlandish claims. They think they know him better than he knows himself. But their confidence is actually masking their ignorance. Jesus goes on in verse 28. He says, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come from my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know." He's essentially saying, you don't really know me. You think you know who I am, but you don't know who sent me, and therefore you don't really understand what's going on with me. God is hidden from them, even though he is revealing himself in Jesus. This morning I want to ask three questions about this idea of God's hiddenness. The first question I want you to ponder with me is, why does God hide? Why does God hide? Secondly, where is God found? Where is God found? And finally, third, how is God found? How is God found? So first, why does God hide? One of the answers is because he's God. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 15, Isaiah says, "Truly, you are a God who hides yourself, O God of Israel." In this passage of Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah is pointing out the differences between the God of Israel and the false gods who surrounded Israel. And he's essentially saying that part of the reason that God is who he is because of our sin. God hides himself because of our sin. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, you and I have tried to dream up pathways to a God that we imagine. We try to imagine who God should be. We try to imagine where God should be. And yet all of those imaginations merely lead to idolatry. God refuses to be subject to our whims. So he hides himself. When we say that God is hidden, we say, and we mean, that God cannot be reached by our speculation. God cannot be reached by our imagination. It doesn't matter what kind of idea you have in your head about God, it's not going to be true unless it's grounded in his own revelation to us. God hides himself so that he cannot be controlled by us. Too often you and I play a game. It's called Manipulate God. We do certain things, hoping that by doing those things, God will act in a way that pleases us. We say a prayer. We make an offering. We do a good work. And it's just as bad as turning knobs and flipping switches. Presto changeo, we think that God is at work for us. Now, ironically, this is what's going on in Jesus' day. The people of God had defaulted to this idea that if they did all the right things in the temple, if they made all of the right sacrifices, if they kept the Sabbath, then God would have to keep up his end of the bargain and do certain things to bless them. Do you notice where Jesus is? He's in the temple. And in the temple, in verse 28, he tells the people, "You're in God's house, and you don't even know the God you worship. You're here doing all of these things, hoping that God will react and respond to you, and you don't even know him." God is hidden from us because of our sin. So where can God be found? Well, God's hiddenness doesn't mean that God is removed from the world. Paul in Romans chapter 1 says that God's eternal power and his divine nature are still clearly perceived in the things that have been made. The psalmist in Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims his handiwork. God has not withdrawn. It's sin that has put blinders over our eyes. We can't see God's presence in the world. We can't see God's activity in the world. In fact, Paul will go on in Romans to say, we actively suppress the knowledge of God. We don't want to see God at work in the world. Ultimately, that means that we don't speak about God. We speak about chance. We speak about fate. We don't speak about God's providence, how He upholds the world for His own glory. One of the wonders of the Bible story is that from beginning to end, it's an unfolding of an unveiling of God's presence in the world. The hidden God gradually becomes more and more revealed through the story. Think about this with me. Toward the beginning of this story, how is God made manifest in the world? He's a voice speaking to Abraham, telling him that his people, his descendants, will be a great nation. And then God shows up in the burning bush with Moses, but he goes a step further. He gives Moses a name. He says, I am. You tell the people of Israel that I am has sent you. And then God shows up to Joshua as the commander of the Lord's army, ready to lead God's people into the promised land. The glory cloud that fills the tabernacle and the temple is the presence of God among His people. The prophets testify, being God's own spokesman for His people. Until finally you reach Bethlehem. And Bethlehem becomes the doorway through which God emerges, no longer hidden from His creation. When we ask, where is God found? The only answer that we have for us is God is found in Jesus of Nazareth. The only God with whom we have to do is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is not just a revelation of God. Jesus is the revelation of God. He is where God is found, and we cannot know God apart from Jesus. Amen. So how then? How then do we find this God? That's a bit of a trick question. Because God is never really found. God only reveals Himself. To find God, you have to be seeking God. But you know enough of the Bible that you know that Romans 3 tells us that none of us seek after God. That's a challenge to us. That's a challenge to our culture. That's a challenge to our generation. We think about people in our lives who, of course they seek God. They're spiritual seekers. They're curious people. They read the Bible. They have questions. Oh, they haven't bowed the knee to King Jesus, but they're seeking after God. Friends, unless God reveals Himself to you, the kind of God that you seek is not the God who is revealed in Jesus Christ. The kind of God that you and I seek on our own is a God of pure justice. We don't think that way too often, but our thoughts are betrayed by our actions. The kind of God left up to ourselves that we seek out is a God who will give us our fair share. A God who will recognize everything that I have done. Who will judge me according to all of my efforts, all of my merits, all of my performance. A God who will give me what I deserve and will make sure that that person over there gets what they deserve too. That's the kind of God that we naturally seek. And sadly, many of us spend most of our lives trying to find that God. But folks, that is not the God who is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. In Christ, God reveals Himself to those who run away from Him. In Christ, God reveals Himself to the unworthy. In Christ, God reveals Himself to the skeptical, to the sinful, to the apathetic. He reveals Himself, not in a blinding flash of glory. He reveals Himself in the rough hands of a carpenter's son. He reveals Himself in the calloused feet of an itinerant rabbi.
He reveals himself in the dusty robes of a first century Jew. He reveals himself in the pierced hands and feet of a traitor to Rome. He reveals himself in Jesus, the Son that he sent, who by taking the form of a servant revealed to us the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. Why does this matter? Why does it matter that God reveals himself to us in Jesus? I'm going to leave you with two things today. Two reasons why this matters for you. First one is this. Unless God reveals himself to us in Christ, we will never truly know God's mercy. Unless God reveals himself to us in Christ, we can never really know God's mercy. Friends, mercy is not an intellectual concept that we've come up with. It isn't achieved by our careful thinking. Mercy isn't a feeling evoked by the beauty of God's creation. Mercy won't be found in your attempts to be moral and upstanding. It won't even be found in doing many religious rituals. The mercy of God can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus undoes the brokenness of our sin by being broken himself on the cross. Did you notice verse 30? In verse 30 it says, so they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. That hour is why God must be found in Jesus. In that hour, all of God's wrath against sin was unleashed. And in that hour, peace was made between God and his people in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, if you try to find God outside of Jesus, you will only despair. Any consideration of God outside of Jesus Christ leads to despair. The only God outside of Christ that you will find is a God whose cup of wrath has not been drunk to the dregs. A God whose judgment has not been satisfied. That's the point that Jesus is making in verse 34 when he says that one day the people are going to seek him, but they won't find him. Someday Jesus will be inaccessible. A judgment is coming. And today is the day to know God's mercy to you in Christ, because tomorrow may be too late. So the first reason that this matters is the most important reason. The first reason this matters is it's because it's in Christ that we know God's mercy. Secondly, the second reason this matters is that if we really know God in Christ, then we will also know ourselves. You see, hide and seek isn't just a game for little kids. You and I often play hide and seek. Our lives are spent vacillating between who we wish we were and who we really are. In fact, our problems with idolatry, creating a false image of God, really reflect our own efforts to create a self-image that is acceptable to us and the people around us. One of the reasons that our false gods end up looking like ourselves is because we're projecting out who we wish we were. But when God reveals himself to us, it becomes like a great mirror, where we can see ourselves reflected in Jesus Christ. Just like God has opened up a dark room or pulled off a blindfold, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, you are reintroduced to a self that maybe you don't know. When you see Jesus, you see your sin clearly. but you also see God's mercy clearly. And you know that, yes, I am a sinner, but I am also God's beloved child. I am a sinner who can't even live up to my own best expectations for myself, but I am beloved by God. I'm rescued by God. I am made in His image, and I am destined for His glory. That's the double tragedy of John 7. The people who were so sure they knew who Jesus was, they didn't arrive at a true knowledge of God, and that meant that they never truly knew themselves either. But folks, what was a tragedy for them is a hope for you. A true knowledge of God gives you a true knowledge of yourself. If you truly know God in Christ, you can handle the knowledge of your sinful self because you know that at the proper hour, Jesus dealt mercifully and graciously with your sin. Now, you are God's children. And even though what you will one day be has not yet been fully revealed, you know that a day is coming. A day is coming when He will appear again, and you will be like Him, because you will see Him as He is. Let's pray together. Well, Father, call out to us. We who hide in sin and shame, call out to us. It's safe to come home. It's safe to be known. Reveal to us the glory of Christ, hidden for so long, but now made manifest. Lord, may we see Him and know that it is a glimpse of the glory that awaits us. It's in His name we pray. Amen.